This is wrong actually. But the father, he gives himself out of affection for his daughter. So Devaki, when she was leaving her father's house, after 15 days, she was decorated very nicely. Her hair was decorated with flowers and jewels. For Devaki, again and again, this word Mahabhaga is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahabhaga means greatly fortunate. One whose son is going to be the Supreme Lord, what to speak of her good fortune? And Maharaj Devak, he knew of Vasudev, that when he was born, there was a prediction that his son will be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because when Vasudev was born, the demigods, they were beating these drums called Dunduvi. In this joy that Krishna will appear as his son. Therefore his name, he was also called Anak Dunduvi. So Maharaj Devak, he knew the glories of his son-in-law. And that's why he gave his daughter to Vasudev. So Devaki and Vasudev had left, were leaving the house of King Devaka, and Ugrasena's son Kamsa, he also became very affectionate for his sister, and he took off the driver of the chariot. And out of affection, he himself took the reins. Although he was the crown prince, chariot driver is the job of a very small person. And many other chariots were following, which other people were driving. But Devaki's chariot, he wanted to drive himself. And Maharaj Devak gave a lot of gifts to his daughter Devaki. Here Sukadev Goswami is explaining. He said that he gave a dowry of 400 elephants with golden garlands, nicely decorated. Not that small thin chains that we wear. These are huge golden garlands. They were fit for the elephants. These days, the humans don't even get to see such golden garlands. What to speak of wearing them? This was his affection. And 10,000 horses he gave, and the horses also had golden chains. So opulent was our country, Bharatvarsh. All the Britishers took. For many centuries, India was looted. And before that, Muslims, they used to call her a golden bird. They used to say, let's go to India, the golden bird. So whatever it was, it was only 5,000 years ago that even the elephants were decorated, the animals were decorated in this way. And there were 1,800 chariots. And these chariots were not empty chariots, filled with nice clothes and sweets, not empty. And he gave 200 very beautiful maid servants for her. Those dasas and dasis that used to be before for the kings, they used to live more opulently than the presidents today. The bigger post. These days the ministers, the prime ministers, they're called, they call themselves doing service. When they ask for what, they say, please give me a chance to serve. And they say, I want to serve the nation. If he said one time, oh, for a long time I have been very broke, and so I want to be the prime minister and become rich, give me vote, then nobody will give. They'll say, oh, he wants to be the boss. But he says, please give me a chance to serve the country. But actually, the jiva's swarup is to be a servant. This is actually the swarup. So these big officers and ministers, they're also servants. So just imagine, if somebody could become personal servant of the king or the queen, what a great person he must be. So these dasas and these dasis that were given to Devaki, so these dasis were greater than the queens today, and they were decorated with all kinds of ornaments. These dasis were decorated with very opulent jewelry. These days, if you go to see the wives of the presidents, they hardly wear any jewelry. They don't even dress properly, what to speak of wearing jewelry. Such a yuga has come. But Ma Devaki's dasis were dressed so nicely. Maharaj Devak gave because he was very affectionate to his daughter. There was no system that you have to give dowry. These days there's a tradition of what to do, have to give so much. It was not like that. He was Duhitri Vatsala, affectionate to his daughter. This is Vedic civilization. The daughter has taken birth from my body. It's my duty to take care of her and find her a proper husband and send her nicely. To serve her becomes our dharma. She should be sent with so much love that she should never become sad by remembering the love she had in her father's house. In one place she has taken her birth, now she is going to a new place forever. She should be sent with so much satisfaction. So much satisfaction that she will never look back and think that my father didn't give enough. This is dharma. Even most cruel, evil person like Kamsa, his heart also melted for a few minutes when she was leaving. Even today we see at a wedding when the daughter is leaving the house of her father and she starts crying, those people who are not related to her, they also start crying. I have myself cried so many times like this. Actually, the women, they're the deities of surrender, where they have been born in one place and they leave, they give up their father's house forever to go to their husband's house, and they don't even know where they're going, what kind of life they'll have, who they're marrying. And she goes, she leaves her father's house, she goes with her husband. So the father also wants that she should remain happy. Devotees should learn from this. Devotees should actually surrender like this to Krishna. And it's natural. The girl, she leaves forever to her husband's house. So this is, has been the description of her dowry. Now listen, the chariot driving of Kamsa. Now, They were still on the road from the palace. They hadn't gone very far. They were musical instruments, shankha, mridangas, and bugles. And dudundavi, kettle drums. And all other kinds of musical instruments too. Even today, when the bride and bridegroom is leaving, they play musical instruments. Actually, it's a culture that with these musical instruments, you sing the glories of the Supreme Lord for auspiciousness. Doesn't matter how poor a man may be, the father may be, but he will hire some kind of band. These days, they play movie songs. In the olden days, they used to only sing Krishna songs, glorification of the Lord. So the music was playing.
Pathi pragrahinam kansam abhasyaha sarirvat.
Text 34. Everyone was walking along, all the kings, family people, music was playing, and while Kamsa was holding the reins of the horses, hardly 50 meters he had gone, there was a voice from the sky. Could not hear who said it, but everyone could hear. They took the voice addressed King Kamsa by his name. The voice from the sky said, "Re re Kans," means, "Oh foolish rascal, oh foolish Kans." For him it was very insulting. From the skies, demigods or the gods were saying, and in the assembly of all the common people, he is being called a fool. Like, It says in the Shastra, Asharir Vak. Asharir means he has no sharir, no body. Or perhaps the voice was coming from the sky. So, suppose the Kansa, he says, why am I foolish? What am I doing foolishness? And the voice said, the Devaki that you so affectionately sending to, taking to her husband's house, that Devaki's eighth son will kill you. The thing was that the demigods thought that this Kansa, he is giving service to the Lord's mother. The Lord becomes very obliged by the service to his devotees. The Lord, with a very small service, he considered a very huge, he becomes very greatly obliged. So the demigods became anxious. Perhaps they were anxious that what if Krishna becomes so obliged by this service and he decides not to kill him? In this world, you do a big service for somebody and they're not obliged, even they forget. But for the Lord or his devotee, you do a very small service and they become very obliged and they consider that he did a very great service. So the demigods thought that the people might, for a moment, they might think he's become saintly. And so they wanted to show the public his real self so they don't start to think that he's a saintly person. They wanted to exhibit his real quality. And therefore they sent this message from the sky. Destroy Kamsa's affection for Devaki right there. In this text 34, it is said that Devaki's eighth pregnancy, it doesn't say eighth son, because later on there it will be a girl. So to put Kamsa in illusion, because when Vasudeva will come back with a girl, then he'll think that at that time that the voice said eighth pregnancy. He didn't say girl or a boy, so he will be put into illusion. So Vishnu can come in the form of girl also. That much the message from the sky, that was enough to destroy his affection for his sister. This is a symptom of a rascal. Suppose if Devaki's eighth child will kill him, so it's not Devaki's fault. Anybody can understand. If her son, how is she supposed to know what kind of person is coming from her womb? Whether it will be a saintly person or demoniac person, a murderer, a terrorist, a rascal. How is she supposed to know? What is her fault to kill her? But this is a proof of the demoniac nature of Kamsa, that as soon as he heard that her son will kill him, so he decided just to kill her and finish with the problem. The demigods, the voice didn't say to kill Devaki. Some people say that the demigods, they made him do these atrocities and kill Vasudeva's six children. Kansa actually said that to Vasudeva later on, that actually the demigods made me kill your children. I would not have killed your sons. Demigods didn't say to kill Vasudeva's all his sons. They said his eighth son will kill you, eighth child will kill you. He really believed in the voice of the demigods. Then it was his duty to say to Devaki, my dear sister, when your eighth child is born, you should make him your uncle's devotee. You should talk to him in such a way that he begins to love me. Train him in such a way that your son grows up to love me. Shripad Vallabhacharya has said in his commentary that that rascal had no shame in the assembly of all the public. He got hold of Devaki by her braid and lifted the sword to cut her throat. That hair, that braid which was decorated at the occasion of her wedding, he had no shame in pulling her in front of everybody. He held her braid, but he was ready to kill her by cutting her throat. Srila Vallabhacharya, he says that he was such a low class person that if he really wanted to kill her, he should have killed her afterwards, attempted to kill her afterwards when the general public was not there, maybe given her poison in privately or killed her. But he was such a sinful person that in the middle of the whole assembly of all the town people, he attempted to kill that poor girl. This is a sign of a very sinful person. This was his swabhav, his nature. In the end, the swabhav or nature comes out as a truth. If her eighth child was to kill him, this is not the way to do. At least let the eighth child be born. It will take many years. Maharaj Parikshit only had 7 days notice that he will die. But he did not do anything to retaliate. Now, for eighth child to be born, Kamsa would have had many years to live. In one shloka it is said that if a low-class person, a very sinful person, suddenly does something very good, then we should understand that the danger has increased. Something dangerous. In one shloka it is said,
janasya visishtatvam parupadravakarakam vyaghrasya chopavasyanam paranam pasumaranam.
A sinful person, low class person, he's always done bad thing, and suddenly if he does something good, then we should understand that there might be something kapat or some deceitfulness is behind all this. One should be careful. Just like one time Ravan, when he took the form of a sannyasi, then it can be understood that something terrible he'll do. Just like Rahu, he became one of the demigods and sat in the assembly of demigods. And Kalnemi, in Ramlila, he became a demon and sat down near the Himalayas and started chanting Ram's name. Suddenly, how come he is doing something so wonderful? There must be some deceit. He must have something deceitful on his mind. This Kalnemi, he went when Hanuman was flying towards Himalayas to get that herb for Lakshman. This Kalnemi was sent by Ravan and he sat there. He took the form of a yogi and he started chanting the names of Ram loudly to trick Hanuman into thinking he was a devotee, and Hanuman was going to come down and be with him. So, and then he had planned to kill Hanuman. A very bad person suddenly looks like he's going to do something good. He should not be allowed to do it so easily, because he may be planning to cause more trouble. Just like imagine if according from the teachings of some Vaishnava, association of some Vaishnava, a lion decides to do Ekadashi Vrata. Ekadashi Vrata. So this lion is doing Ekadashi Vrata. And then he asks, lion asks, when do I break my fast? Next day. So he did the Ekadashi, which was very good. But when he goes to break his Ekadashi, he is bound to kill an animal and eat an animal. So if he wasn't doing Ekadashi Vrata, maybe he would not have killed an animal next day. But to complete his Ekadashi Vrata, he will kill an animal, whatever is around him. So a bad person, when he suddenly does something good, it becomes upadra, it becomes dangerous for the society. Just imagine, he was driving the chariot of his sister. With affection, he was taking her to her husband's house. But in one moment, his heart changed. One moment, the nature of a person to change in this way is an indication of a very low class demoniac person. In one shloka, it is said,
Jatha chitte tatha vachah, jatha vachas tatha kriya, chitte vachi kriyayam cha mahata nekar upata.
In the Mahatma's hearts, whatever is in their heart, that they speak. And whatever they speak, that they do. So their man, their mind, and their words, and their kriya, their deeds. All these things, three things are the same. And the low-class demoniac person, there's a difference between his mind, his words, and his deeds. What he's thinking, he will not say the same thing in his words, and what he says, he will not do the same thing in his deed. This Kans, a sinful low-class person like Kans, his words, his mind, his words, and his deeds are all different. This is like a low-class Kamsa, sinful person. And if you're being, if he's being affectionate, how is it that in 1 second his affection has turned into such an act of killing? Sometimes one should think that man dies according to his karma. When the time of death comes, he will die, whether the nephew is going to kill him or somebody else will have to kill him. But he was so low class that he thought that he may not die, and he was in so much ignorance that he was thinking that he will die by her son, her sister's son. Such and such will kill me. Nobody kills anybody. A person dies due to his own karma. It's written that on this day so and so will pass away. But it's not that he doesn't die because it's written on that day. But because he has to die on that day, that is why it's written. You have to die, that day is written. Just like when we go on the airplane, before leaving, it's written down where you're going to. Before you leave the place, it is already written down on your ticket where you're going to onboard. Decide once you get on the plane where you'll get off. Right here it's written down where you'll get off. What you'll eat even is written down. What you're going to eat, drink in advance. For all living entities, it is already written down at the time of birth when he will leave his body. Therefore, a man should not do anything sinful to save this body. Because by doing anything sinful, you cannot save this body. Man can do so much sinful activity and hurt others, kill others, but can he delay his death by doing all these? Get is to carry sinful load with you and you will not survive also. It won't be worth it. If he knew that the eighth child would kill him, so minimum time it'll take to die is 8 years. Isn't it? At least 8 years. But Kamsa was thinking, I should live for 8 years and then be then be killed by the child. So better I kill this girl right now. This girl should die today. This girl who has just got married, her jewelry, her auspicious signs on her hand, her kumkum, is still fresh. This is a most amazing thing to want to kill her immediately. It's most amazing. A cruel heart to catch hold of her braid. In the Shastra it says, Shastra says that only a husband has the right to hold a married woman's braid, nobody else. This one sinful act of Dushasan grabbing hold of Draupadi's hair was the cause that everyone had to bear this sinful reaction. It is said in the Mahabharata, just for this sinful act of pulling Draupadi's hair, everyone, they all died in the battlefield. Only for this one sinful act. Not everybody pulled Draupadi's hair. Only Dushasan did, but everybody watched. Nobody interfered. And because of that, everybody had to carry the sinful reaction, and everybody's lifespan was immediately reduced. Here he was, Kamsa was brother, and he was being affectionate, and now he's ready to kill Devaki. Text 35. Sukadev Goswami is calling Kamsa Khala. He was envious. He was Murtiman Pap. He was sin personified. This is Sukadev Goswami is calling him.